applicant to get into the courtroom.
Good morning. Marlon Polk.
And welcome, Judge Polk. Thank you very much. Counsel, is it Mr. Bowers? Good morning to you and Mr. Sieg.
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning to you. Do either of you have any questions before we begin?
Yes,
and Mr. Bowers, you may approach and you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. First argument that Custer County would make in this case as the appellant would be the jurisdiction argument that the trial court lacked jurisdiction. Basing that off of the claim that was submitted to for payment to Custer County by Lancaster County, and that our argument would be that it would be under the relevant statute of 23-135, where all claims are submitted to the county board for approval. This claim was denied, was sent back to Lancaster County, telling them why it was denied. Instead of taking the appropriate remedy that was available to them under 23-135, they then did a subsequent demand for reimbursement. Basically, our argument is that, one, because the county board had denied this claim, the exclusive remedy was under 23-135, and that was to appeal to the District Court of Custer County.
Have we ever said, in relation to the statute which allocates responsibility for general assistance, have we ever said that the county claims route is an exclusive remedy?
It has not, Your Honor. Basically, my argument under that was there is a, under the general assistance statutes, there is a avenue for reimbursement, but for the payment of claims, that is under 23-135, where it says all claims must be submitted to the county clerk within 90 days of the last subsequent work or services that are done.
Materials and labor?
Pardon?
Materials and labor?
Yes, Your Honor. And if you look at the issues in here, is that I can present to the court in our argument was, is that the first request for reimbursement was done in, pardon me.
Counsel?
Yes.
You would agree that 23-135 only applies to claims arising out of contract?
Correct, Your Honor.
And are you contending that Custer County had a contract with either Mr. Tall or Lancaster County?
I believe that if you look at the general assistance statutes, Your Honor, there's, as an appellee claims, is that there's a duty to provide services to the poor. But if you delve into those statutes more, it shows a clear contract. There's a contract in between the claimant, and there's a contract in between the county that is providing the services. Not only does the claimant have to fill out an application, they have to meet certain requirements, and they also have to perform certain duties to be eligible for these services. Based off of that, if they perform those duties and make those requirements, then the county approves them to be eligible for these services. If for any reason they do not perform one of those issues, then the county can say, we're terminating your general assistance contract.
Well, is this a claim?
A contract between the county and the claimant, that's the county that's paying.
Correct.
That wouldn't be a contract with the settlement, the legal settlement county, would it?
Your Honor, I believe what they're doing is they're actually stepping in, what they're saying is they're stepping in the shoes of Custer County, because what they're claiming is that Mr. Tall is a resident of Custer County, and when he moved to Lancaster County, that he is now entering into this contract. So we have now entered into this contract with us. We are now saying you are responsible for the payment of this contract,
so
that we provide services.
Lancaster County can bind Custer County in a contract between Lancaster County and the claimant?
I believe that that's what they're saying under that, because if you look at there, there's also the subrogation issue under that general assistance statute as well.
Is there any contract?
What is the claim here? Pardon me.
I apologize. So there was a general assistance that was provided to Mr. Tall when he moved to Lancaster County. It looks like within a day he applied for services after he had moved there. The issue that we have here is the dates at which these claims were presented to Custer County. If you look at the first one, it was sent, I believe, in...
I guess I'm talking more fundamentally. Is this a statutory claim?
Pardon, Your Honor?
Is this a statutory claim?
I believe that the claim is based off of the services that were provided under the general assistance, but if you look at that, he still had to meet the requirements under that, which he entered into that contract with Lancaster County for those general assistance things. I believe if you look at the way that the application is, it says you have to provide all these things. If there's anything misrepresentation, if there's any fraud, that this could disqualify you from these services. So when he was supposed to list his assets, when he was supposed to list what his income was, if you look at some of those things, and I bring those up in my brief, is just the amount of income that he lists. If you just do the mathematical equation on that, he's way outside the guidelines on that. The other second issue that I can point out there, Your Honor, is on the application. He fills out on May 2nd, and then it's witnessed on June 3rd by a signator that is running this.
Counsel, we of course have to determine that we have jurisdiction. So we'll be talking about jurisdiction. We have been talking about jurisdiction. But the arguments that you were turning to, I think, are arguments that are more of a merits-based situation. And don't you have a problem, given that you did not assign error in the method that our court rules require?
Yes, Your Honor. And
don't we review for plain error?
Yes, Your Honor. And that is completely my fault, and I will take that, because I will tell the court there's limited circumstances in which a county attorney can actually be the appellant, and we don't do that often, and I should have paid more attention to that. If you look at the cases that I cited for that issue, though, and this court says, is that it may proceed as though the party failed to file a brief or alternatively may examine the proceedings for plain error, but it also said that we have never interpreted 2-109D1E to leave us powerless to consider errors that were not properly presented. Further, this court stated in another case that the court is not limited by or is obligated to strictly enforce this rule, and the court stated that Nebraska courts, through their inherent judicial power, have the authority to do all things reasonable and necessary for the proper administration of justice. And I think that if you look at this, Your Honor, basically the claims that were...
How do we do that in this case without eviscerating our line of cases about you have to properly assign error?
If you look at the way that I had argued this, is I had presented my issues basically if it had been moved up three spaces up further up on the title page, I wouldn't even be arguing this issue. Basically, what this court has said is this is a procedural tool to give notice to the court and to give notice to the appellee what are the issues here. I don't think that they were prejudiced in any way. One of the issues that I was going to address, Your Honor, is that if you look at the time of the claims here, you can see that, one, this is the documents that the appellee had provided to us. Was the first claim was for the $27,000 and change with the itemized statement for $27,000 and change with the last work done in July of 2019, where the claim was not even, or the request was not even sent to us until August of 2020, a whole year after the last work and services done. When we sent the denial of that claim back to them, they sent us a new one that had a demand for reimbursement that said $26,000 and change, but the itemized statement was over $31,000. And my argument would be that this is a clear material fact
that the court did not take into consideration here when they are providing us these numbers, and they're just saying, pay this claim. You have a statutory duty to pay this claim, and we don't even know what the amount is.
Before your time expires, I want to circle back to the jurisdictional argument. You have asserted that the relationship between Lancaster County and Custer County in this case was one of contract. Was it an express contract or an implied contract or something different? Or and why?
I believe that based off of those statutes, how they were written is that the county has the duty to provide services for the poor, but when they assess who is eligible for that, they are entering into a contract. When Mr. Toll moved to Lancaster County...
A contract with the claimant or a contract with Custer County?
With the county where he received services. But to enforce that contract, it was on behalf of Custer County because they were claiming he was a resident under that six-month rule. In all reality, what our argument would be is, I don't think that was the purpose of this statute and the case law that follows, is because this gentleman here has no property in Custer County, moved to Lancaster County to live with his daughter, and when they put us on notice to come get him, what is the reality of that? Do I send the sheriff out to Lancaster County to pick this guy up, bring him back to Custer County where he has nothing? I mean, that's basically our argument, Your Honor. And I would just ask that the court either find that...
Let me ask you one more thing before you conclude your arguments. Are you ultimately arguing that these two sets of statutes can be read together?
Yes, Your Honor, because I believe that when the court has previously said that when a more specific statute applies, that's the statute that it reads. So even though there is
a... The more specific statute here would be the service provider, the county provided the services, and the statute specifically says this is what you're supposed to do to reclaim money from another county. So that's the more specific statute.
Right? I think that the more vague statute is that they are allowed to seek reimbursement under the general assistance statute. The claim statute in which to get paid is under the more specific statute of 23-135, where it says all claims will be presented to the county clerk within 90 days.
This suit is authorized by 68-144, is it not?
Yes, to seek reimbursement, but it has no avenue or direct vehicle for how to get the claim. So if you're going to submit the claim to the county board to be paid, basically the county board, they're just saying, here's my claim.
You're saying, as in some other areas, that a claim must be made before you can thereafter employ 68-144?
No. I think that the services are provided under that contract for general assistance. But once that bill comes in, I think the board still does its duty to say, is this a valid thing, a valid claim? Where did this come from? Why are we paying this amount? And when it's more even convoluted is when we get two or three different numbers from them.
Thank you.
Before you sit down, I have a quick question about the record. Did Custer County receive a request to remove from Lancaster County prior to them sending the notice of the bill?
Yes, Your Honor, they did. And when they sent that, I had sent a letter back to them asking for more specifics of how he qualified for them. And what Lancaster County had responded is that we will send you copies of contracts when we invoice this. We never received any of those things. We only received the one request for reimbursement after a year of the services had been done in August of 2020, and then another one in November where the last services were said to be done in October of 2019.
Because you used up all of your time,
yes.
I anticipate that your opponent will quote to us the language from 68-145 that says the county taking charge may sue for and recover from the county to which such individual belongs, the amount expended for and in behalf of such poor person. And I'm omitting parts that don't add anything to that. I anticipate that he will argue that that is the more specific statute. Why is he wrong?
Your Honor, I think based off of that, that they are allowed to sue for that, but it shouldn't get to the summary judgment motion, or that the summary judgment motion was granted based off of their own information of three different figures. Of here, and basically what they're saying is, here's a minister, you have no discretion in which to do this. This is purely ministerial. Here's our bill. Pay it. When we denied that first one, they sent it an entirely different bill and an entirely different invoice with different numbers on it. So I think they also have, under the general assistance statute, is that they have to review claims. They have to go through each of these things to make sure that they're accurate and that the applicant is doing what he's supposed to be doing under that contract. Why wouldn't Custer County be able to do the same thing with that bill of saying, why are these things, what's making these bills this way? What services are being provided, and why are there different numbers each time without any explanation? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. C, good morning to you.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Dan Zig, and I represent Lancaster County. As Justice Castle noted, there have been no assigned errors, so I'm going to keep my argument very simple and straightforward. The applicant in this case applying for general assistance arrived in Lancaster County and within days applied for general assistance. As the statute says, and as this court has previously told Lancaster County in the Saul's case, we don't have any discretion whether or not we're going to provide that. We have to. But we have the right to go back and seek the reimbursement, which we did. We then sent a letter to Custer County asking to be reimbursed for the funds.
If you look at the old cases under the predecessor statute, both of these statutes have predecessors. General assistance, county claim statutes have predecessors going back to statehood or thereabouts. In the old cases, they all seem to take the county claim route. What happened or what changed or why shouldn't that be the route that is taken when Lancaster County seeks reimbursement from Custer County?
Well, the general assistance statutes are much more specific, and they directly deal with this about how we are to seek the reimbursement. The 23-135 talks about when material or labor is provided, that's the route to go. There's been some talk about maybe this is only for contracts. It wouldn't go quite that far. I think it's going to cover 99% of the cases, but I could envision a case, maybe an unjust enrichment or something like that, or maybe the county now has to exercise that quasi-judicial function of determining how much is actually owed for this contract? Has it been breached?
Well, tort cases don't go to the county board under the county claim statute.
No, again, they have the more specific routes. And if you file a tort claim, it has to go that route. If you start reading 23-135 that broad, it starts to subsume every other claim that could ever possibly come to the county. Sheriff's kicking a door or something like that, owner fixes it. Well, that could now fall under this, but you also have the tort claim that's going to be much more specific, and there's even one more specific than that, that says the county has to pay.
So I anticipated your argument to your opponent with respect to the specificity of the statutes. Are you arguing that 68-145 is the more specific statute, and if so, why?
Yes, it is. It is more specific. There's not that quasi-judicial function of the county board when they receive a claim like this. It says that the county may recover in the amount expended for. There's no thought from them that's required in terms of, well, did they actually provide an appropriate medical service or anything like that? They are required to pay it versus on a contract, maybe someone comes in and paves a road and we look at it and go, this isn't appropriate, and so we're not going to pay you the full amount, we're going to reduce it. That's not allowed for in this. Is they have to pay what it costs Lancaster County in these types of cases.
Is it possible that different counties can adopt different qualification standards for general assistance and still, even though one county may have qualification standards that are higher than a different county, both would be in statutory compliance?
Yes, I would venture a guess that most counties are not going to want to step in and pay for anyone's medical care that comes in. They're going to look for the people that are truly indigent and don't have those resources to pay for their own care. They're going to want to restrict it to those.
So what you're arguing, assuming that your opponent was correct, that the eligibility determinations in Lancaster County were flawed in some fashion, do they have no opportunity to use the county claims statute as a route to resist that, or do they have to do that through the independent action that you commenced in the district, that the county of Lancaster commenced in the district court for Lancaster County?
I think it'd be brought in that action where they could then have the chance to litigate that, because there's the question, are you even liable in the first place? And if the answer is, well, you know, we have, you know, inappropriate standards for someone who applies for this and stuff, is the court could step in, the trial court could step in and say, no, we're not going to award you those funds because you didn't comply, as this person should never have been eligible for general assistance under the statutes. So there was that opportunity for them to address that.
What about the different amounts that Lancaster County submitted to Custer County? Would that go towards precluding summary judgment?
I don't think it would. Again, you're looking at what is in the record, and the number is supported by the record. And I will concede that, yes, there were different amounts given. But over time, as the Medicaid kicked in and they started to reimburse, and so the number started out, I believe, around like $31,000. And as the reimbursement came, eventually it was down to approximately $26,000 for the judgment in this case. And that's what we saw. And when the court looked at all this, the trial court looked at this, they agreed that the evidence, the uncontradicted evidence, supported that amount for that he awarded in the summary judgment order. Like I said, again, I was keeping my argument very simple, straightforward. Unless there are other questions, we would just ask that you affirm the trial court decision in this case. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. Counsel, that concludes arguments in Lancaster County versus Custer County. You are excused and the court is adjourned.